This is HPR episode 2469 entitled, A Flight Itinerary in Bash, and is part of the series Bash Scripting. It is hosted by Dave Morris, and is about 18 minutes long, and carries an explicit flag. The summary is, working out dates and times in a Bash script.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everyone, this is Dave Morris for Hacker Public Radio. I'm going to do another Bash-related show today. It's fairly brief. It's probably a bit silly, but I thought since I'd done the thing that I'm going to talk about, somebody might find it useful and interesting. So, bear with me. It's 1st of January today, and my daughter flew out to New Zealand before Christmas. Christmas Eve she went. She's gone there with her mum, my ex-wife, to hang out with her brother. He's been there since around November with his girlfriend. They're on a bit of a travel binge at the moment. Anyway, I was interested in her flights and times and stuff, and I saw her itinerary that came in from the airline, but the times on those things are all local times, which is what you want when you're flying places. You want to know what time your next plane's going or whatever as you arrive in a place. But I was interested in tracking where she was at on her journey using local time. So I took this itinerary and turned it into a little Bash script, which allowed me to calculate times in my local time zone, which is GMT or UTC. Both of my kids are fairly frequent travellers. They've got the Wanderlust, both of them, I think. And I like just to have an idea of where they are, not from the point of view of monitoring them or anything, but just how they're progressing through their journeys, because I tend to worry otherwise if I don't know where they are and stuff. So it's just a parental thing. Maybe this parent, I don't know. This was a fairly simple journey, two flights, one from Edinburgh to Doha in Qatar, and then another one out to Auckland. Not a long way in between. In Doha. Of course, the overall journey is incredibly long. It's hard to believe that people are doing these sorts of things on a regular basis. But that's just me showing my age, probably. It's simple in comparison to many into this flight. When she flew out to Indonesia in 2015, and I did an HBR show chatting to her when she came back about what she'd been up to and stuff. She was out learning to dive and being an assistant on with people who were doing research in a remote island in the Indonesian archipelago. Anyway, she took four flights and a boat trip, and it took her over 38 hours. There was a break along the way to get out there, and I made a spreadsheet for that. Spreadsheets are an okay way of doing this, but it was good to do. I found it gave me relief from worrying. This time I chose a different means of distracting my brain. So let's talk about the script then. The basic algorithm was that I had the start and arrival times of each flight, as well as each flight direct duration. And I also had the connection time, the time in the linking airport waiting for the next plane. I decided to use the date command to perform date and time calculations. And you've known that you can do some reasonably sophisticated things with date for a number of years, but I've not really, I always forget how to do it, so I was keen to get back into remembering, learning how to do this properly and finding all the ins and outs of it. And that's why I'm doing this show, of course, because I'm sharing what I found with you. The date command can take a date specification with an offset. So when you just type date, you get back the current date and time and time zone. If you give it an offset, if you give it a base date, which you do by giving it a hyphen D option followed by date specification, people who wrote this have actually gone to a lot of trouble to provide a parser which can handle all sorts of wonderful date formats. So my example here is, if you typed date space hyphen D space, then in quotes, doesn't matter which quotes, today plus 1 week with spaces where you'd expect them to be, then you get back, and I did this on the 30th of December, 11:13, I got back the answer, and I didn't bother about the format, I just let it default it. Saturday, the 6th of January, 11:13 and 12 seconds GMT 2018. That's what I got back. So that was, it just added a week. It has problems if you give it things like a month, because what is the length of a month? Because they're all, well, a lot of them are different. Dates and times are so horrible to fiddle with. But anyway, if you give it a start date and time in the form that you might expect. So I had a start date of, my cat in the background, a start date of, in ISO format, 2017-12-24 space 14:55. So that's the date that the first flight started. And then I put plus 415 minutes, which is actually the flight duration. And I got back Sunday the 24th of December at 10:41, so it was the answer was before the time I was actually trying to calculate from. Adding 415 minutes, which is 6 hours 55 minutes, to 14:55 should result in 21:50. So something's broken here. The problem, I believe, is caused by the date and time being separated by a space, so the parser has only read the date, not the time. So it started at midnight on the 24th and added the appropriate time to that. Does that work? That shouldn't work, does it? I don't know what on earth it was doing. That's strange, actually. No, I never thought about that until just now. I don't know where it got that date from. But so my next attempt was to see, well, what is the universal date format that you can use to manipulate dates, add stuff to dates, or indeed subtract stuff from dates? And I tried another approach where the example, I don't want to read this out because it's complicated, but basically there's, after the hyphen D option, there is a quoted string in it, and in it there is another command substitution with another date. And what this other, in the inner date does, is it takes the nicely formatted date, the one I was using before, and it converts it to ISO 8601 format. You have to put in there hyphen capital I followed immediately by the word minutes. There are different formats that you can get, and there's some that've got fractional seconds and stuff, which this one just gives you an hours and minutes format thing, as well as the date. So I've given an example here of feeding in this to date, and the answer I get back is an ISO 8601 date, which is the 2017-12-24, and then a capital T 14:55 plus 00:00. So in other words, it's the UTC time zone, which is where I am at, and it splits up the date and the time and so forth. I mean, I could have put the T in between the two fields originally, but I wanted to be able to potentially, or at least learn how to convert from one date format to another and find a consistent format that I could do stuff to. So going back to the command within a command thing, having computed that and adding 415 minutes to it, the answer I get back is the correct one, Sunday the 24th of December at 21:50. So that's fine, that works, that's how to do it. I did actually, I didn't put this in the notes, discover that you can say, you can produce epoch times out of date, and you can use that as your sort of base. An epoch time is the number of seconds since, is it 1st of January 1970? I've forgotten what the epoch date is, but you get a big integer number anyway. And you can then feed that into date and produce a more readable date. I also discovered that instead of giving it plus 415 minutes, which means you've got to have converted the hours and minutes into minutes. You could give it plus 6 hours plus 55 minutes. So you can do that. You couldn't put in that date string plus 6:55. That's not accepted, which is a shame. There you go. So that was some of the stuff that led up to what I was doing. What I've done is I've included the script itself. It's 52 lines, including a big comment. So it's not particularly big. It's got a function in it as well, just for the convenience. So talking about the function, first of all, there's a function called minutes, whose purpose was to take a formatted time in the format hours colon minutes and convert it into a number of minutes. I'm not going to talk much about it. I've covered most of these points before in other shows. Just whiz through it briefly. The key element of it is that it takes that time in, and it also has a second argument, a mandatory argument, which is the name of a variable to put the minutes into. It calls it ref, but it uses a method called a name ref. I've got another show pending, which I'm in the process of writing. I write my notes first and then talk to the notes, as you are probably well aware. And it's talking more about name ref, and I plan to go into even more detail on this at a further show. And I talk about functions. But this is a piece of bash magic, if you like, which allows you in a function to hand an answer back to the caller. But instead of handing it back as you would in more normal languages, as Mike Ray would probably put it, it can hand it back as a variable. So basically what the minutes thing does, it splits the time up into two pieces. There are no checks to check that it really is this format. So it's just a rough and ready type of a function. Then it takes the values it gets and multiplies the hours by 60 and adds in the minutes in a what's it called? An arithmetic substitution expression. That's what it does. So the main script works on the principle that it generates times and saves them into variables. And these times are then printed out in a nice format, so I get a little report of the different flight times and stuff. So it's not a very complex thing. But basically I start with a variable which I call DEP_Eddie. I've just used the terminology that you find on flight itineraries, DEP meaning depart and ARR meaning arrive, and then a three-letter airport key, EDI is Edinburgh, DOH, which we'll come to in a minute, is Doha, Auckland is AKL, and stuff like that. Just seemed logical. You might not agree. Anyway, DEP Eddie, sounds silly when I say it, is converted into an ISO 8601. I then compute the flight time in minutes, which is 6 hours 55. Then I compute the arrival time in Doha as the departure time plus the flight time. Again, all in ISO 8601 format. Then I put a couple of printf statements straight after that, just to print them out, rather than save them all up till the end. Printfs, I've not talked much about printf in bash. Thought Clacky was going to do a show on it, but he's a busy guy. But anyway, just in very, very brief, printf takes format string, and then it takes a list of arguments. And the format string has got specifiers, same as we have talked a little bit about this in the awk series. It takes things that says, I want you to treat each of the arguments in the following way. The first one is %-20s. What that means is, take the first argument, print it as a string in a field of 20 spaces, and make sure it's left justified, because the default is to right justify it. So the first printf, the text is leave Edinburgh at. So it does that. Then it does another %s field, which is the date and time that departure occurs. And that argument consists of another command substitution, which is date-d, and then in quotes, $DEP Eddie. So that's that ISO 8601 time. Then the format specification for date is plus percent capital F space percent capital R space percent Z. And that, what that does is generate a date. It's a shorthand way of specifying a sort of natural format date, ISO sort of format date, which is to me very logical. The YYYYMMDD with hyphens in between, 24-hour time, and then followed by the time zone. And of course, it's the local time zone, because I'm interested in knowing what the times are in my time zone. That was the whole point. So the rest of the script is sort of the similar sort of thing. I then compute the time in Doha in minutes, which is 1 hour 40, and then that's used in the next calculation. Compute the duration of the flight from Doha to Auckland, which is 16 hours and 10 minutes. Whoa! and then compute the arrival time in Auckland, print those out. Then I thought, oh, I'll see if I can print it out as a New Zealand time, which gets a little convoluted. There are several ways of doing it, but the one I found was successful, probably because I messed up the other one, was to create a time command substitution, which starts with capital T, capital Z, equals, and then the name of the time zone region. There are various ways you can specify this, I believe. I think you can put in there plus 1300 and possibly others, which specifies the Pacific Auckland time zone. But I use the actual name of it, as you'll see from the notes. Then I computed that arrival date in New Zealand time. I also threw in a duration calculation, because I knew the durations of each flight and the wait in between, to work out how long the overall journey was. So you can, these are arithmetic substitutions, and just add together the three things, and then we print out a little calculation of that duration divided by 60. That's the number of hours, because it does integer division, and then it modulo 60, which gives you the minutes. So that's it, really. So the output, and it's always produced the same output forever and ever, because it's just a one-off. I think I said in the notes it's just a throwaway script, more for my amusement and to keep me busy. Should have done some ironing or something, but no, anyway. This exercised my brain a bit more. It prints stuff out in a reasonably pleasant way, and you can see the New Zealand time's got a plus 13 time zone spec. It was 4:40 in the morning there. They arrived on the 26th. They started on the 24th. But there you go, that's time zones for you. And it took 24 hours and 45 minutes. So I don't envy them at all. I'm not getting very good at long flights anymore. Anyway, so in conclusion, writing this was interesting, and it kept me distracted. And I also watched the flight progress, said flight numbers on one of the flight monitoring sites. I use Flight Radar 24. I'm sure you will have done this. I'm sure everybody's far more sophisticated in this area than I am. Learned stuff about the date command, and it was pretty good. My kids come back in mid-January, and of course I've written the script for the return flight. And the script is there for download if you want. It's obviously listed in the notes. I called it EDI_AKL, and I thought I'd better explain why. Because that's the name of the two airports. So, makes sense, eh? Okay, well, that's it. I hope you found it interesting. Bye now.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.